Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I investigate the changing paradigm and how as a planetary race, we're shifting our consciousness. And part of that understanding comes through astrology, and tonight's guest is very familiar with a certain type of astrology having to do with markets and understanding the future and where we're going as a civilization. He's William Stick Evers. He's been practicing astrology in New York for the past decade, and he's an active member of the Society of Astrology. His website is williamstickevers.com, and there's a lot more to read about you, William, but I think we should just jump into the conversation and tell us, because we are heading into a kind of strange period. First, tell us the type of astrology you do, how you work with it, and then what's coming up for us.
Well, essentially, I'm versed both in classical and modern astrology, and I do what you would call a blend. But my initial background was in psychological astrology, and then I got into what we call mundane astrology, which deals with geopolitical events, financial markets, and the rise and fall of civilizations. Then later on, I continued my studies with Christopher Warnock of Renaissance astrology and delved deeply into astrological magic and talismanic and astrological talismans, the creation of astrological talismans. So the type of astrology, at least what we're going to discuss here tonight, has very much to do with the outer planetary movements that will be coming into alignment by midsummer. And that is what many astrologers are talking about today, about the cardinal T-square apex, where you're going to see Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto will all be making a tight T-square aspect along the world points, which are 0 degrees of cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, and 15 degrees of fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. When planets located at these degrees, when outer planets align at these degrees, they express their archetypal power on the global stage with direct and unequivocal force. And what really makes this cardinal T-square configuration historically significant is that the last time civilization witnessed a similar outer planetary alignment of this type was in 410 AD. Does that year ring a bell to you?
410 AD. Was that the beginning of the Dark Ages?
Absolutely. You hit it on the head. Actually, in June of 410 AD, which coincided with the collapse of the Western Roman Empire, the world's first global superpower, and was followed by a period of massive cultural, demographic, and economic decline and disruption that continued for 400 years unabated. We are now entering that same configuration, and it's going to affect the world over, as we're seeing now. What I can specifically do with the technology that I have, the software that I employ, is I can take that configuration, run it against every chart of every nation, every company, every person in my database, every U.S. state, every municipal entity, and I can see which ones are going to be hit hardest and by the varying degrees of intensity, and then make certain projective speculations on what the future is going to bring.
Wait, I thought we're heading into a whole new age of enlightenment and upliftment and joy and beauty. You're saying that's not going to happen?
Well, what I'm saying is that for this decade, that is not going to happen. Between 2010 and 2020 will be arguably one of the most historically crisis-driven decades. Because what's happening now, as you can see, with the arrival of the cardinal T-square, we can expect, starting 2010 to 2020, one crisis seemingly begetting another, and the time span between each crisis getting shorter and shorter, with the global economy and geopolitical relations will be on a turbulent and perilous course. Because anything now, any structure that is in place that is unsustainable and untenable will not last.
Okay, so what about 2012, everyone wants to know? That is not going to be a great awakening?
No. Yes and no. What you will see is a global revolution. I believe that 2010 will be the shot across the bow and the beginning of a global revolution that will result in a global awakening, a higher shift in consciousness. But at the same time, Alan, there will be a counter-revolutionary force just as powerful colliding with that awakened group. And when that awakening occurs, I do not believe it's all going to be going back to flower power, going back to your local community in such an easy and graceful ways. The powers that be are going to try and lock down exactly the type of system that they have created for us now in economic indentured servitism. All right? And I think we're going to see the clash. It begins this summer.
The clash between the higher powers and the lower powers begin.
It's a clash between the powers and be and a disenfranchised, demoralized group of people who are coming to awakening that the government is no longer the civilization that they have vested into over the period of decades is no longer interested in providing for them. They feel abandoned, demoralized, left out. And that group of people, by the way, are highly educated, well-educated, formerly middle-class Americans, Europeans, Asians, who now, under this crisis, feel that they are at a turning point. So I believe what's happening here is that there's an awakening going on. Many people are leaving their churches. Many people are – the very things that they counted on to get them through the day are no longer available anymore. The very – you know, so I believe there's this big shift going on. You're going to see it in the metaphysical communities. People are going to go back into metaphysics. You're going to see very much what happened in the 60s happen in a much bigger way because of the power of the internet and its ability to organize and its ability to virtually – empower people. So I believe you'll expect the American public to split and take sides between those who refuse to yield to change and those who demand it. Yes, it's going to be an empowering time for many, many people, but this is not going to be a graceful transition as talked about in these metaphysical New Age books written in 1980.
Okay, so what should we expect then?
Well, in terms of what? Because there's a lot to expect.
Well, first, I mean, I know you work with the markets in terms of our money and then in terms of our living situations. You know, why don't we talk about that, practical stuff?
Well, look, the middle class, I mean, we're being deleveraged dramatically. And a lot of, in other words, that our ability to sustain the type of lifestyles we're used to. Is no longer possible. So what I see overall is a greater level of instability occurring, and that level of instability is going to shake the very foundations of our global economy. And so for ordinary day-to-day people who are working, they're going to feel there's going to be a greater sense of anxiety. That will be increasing, you know, as increasing volatility, all right, will be a major, major issue, not just for the ordinary person, but also for the stock market, which basically reflects, the stock market is a very good forward future indicator of economies, especially the U.S. economy.
What do you mean by volatility? A volatility in what kind of form?
Volatility where higher volatility generally corresponds to higher probability of declining markets from shocks to the system, most likely stemming from, you know, the European crisis or other secular geopolitical events, such as like a possible attack in Iran or what we're seeing with the oil crisis in the Gulf that could really derail a global recovery. All right, so we can expect spiking oil and commodity prices in gold and precious metals, dramatic rise in inflation, currency instability, trading irregularities going along like we witnessed a couple weeks back. when the market dropped nearly 1,000 points. So we're going to see more and more of that occur.
You're saying about from the beginning that we are entering a dark age for another, for 1,000 years? No, you're not saying that.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that this decade where we are now in will be similar to what we experienced in the 30s, except amp it up about 1,000-fold. The amount of change, going on that will occur to this civilization in one decade will be equivalent to what it took us to achieve between 1900 and 2000.
Well, let's talk about that change. I mean, go ahead, but continue about what you were saying. But let's also talk, that's what I'm very curious about, is this change that you're seeing.
Well, yes. Basically, the type of changes that I am seeing here are not, just for the record, are not politically correct within the larger astrological community. And the reason I say that is the majority of the people who are practicing astrologers are over the age of 50 and very highly vested in a system that they expect a pension or a retirement settlement with. And that is unlikely to happen. And it's that type of statement I've just made is something that many younger astrologers see but never get to articulate at these conferences or get access to the media channels to explain what they see.
I'm with you because it's
okay.
I need to
preface that because what I'm going to say is a little heavy here.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So my goal, especially like with tonight, is to post the divine framework based on the astrological forecasting techniques. All right, within traditional modern astrology and what's coming down the road, and what I think is coming down the road. All right, that the old. All right, the decade of the old. All right, prior to 2010, that has defined our civilization and culture for the past 500 years is passing away, while something new, all right, starting this summer, is struggling to be born. And that struggling for something new will reveal itself through what I believe, what I guess for lack of a better term, a zeitgeist, a spirit of the time, that will sweep the world with tremendous force and intensity and reawaken the Promethean thrust for change, reform, progress, particularly in the sciences, the arts, economics, politics, and even religion.
But do you see that from an astrological point of view?
Yes, everything I am saying is completely astrologically derived.
Well, could this have to do with an ET presence? Does that make sense within that?
Yes, that's sort of where I'm going to.
Okay, let's go there. Yeah.
Let me go with, before we get to that.
Okay.
Because that's even a leap for many. Many people in a new age, metaphysical.
Not for people listening to this program, but yeah,
okay.
let's build up.
All right. So many of the predictions as I depict events and scenarios that seem impossible today, all right, will become commonplace during this great unraveling and paradigm shift that starts this summer and will last through until the beginning of the 2020s. What I can say with certainty, Alan, is that what is most improbable but most possible today will become mandatory over these next few years. I believe that the shot across the bow, the change, accelerated change, begins and accelerates by the time we hit into the Mayan calendar. Where I think we're going with this is that we are moving rapidly towards Type 1 civilization. You know what a Type 1 civilization is?
I think that's a galactic... bearing,
No, that's a type 3.
Okay.
We're a type 0.8 right now.
Okay.
Type 1 civilization is a civilization that's able to harness all the power available on Earth. Specifically, the Earth has an available power of 1.74 times 10 to the 17 watts or 174 petawatts. By moving away from fossil fuels and developing large-scale applications of fusion power, solar energy systems, from enormous space-based powered satellites, that will make our civilization toward a more unified framework, creating a new era in international relations, a new global economic system. All right, but this has been held back from a consortium of powerful transnational controlling interests that are embedded deeply in the political systems of most nation states. And this is where I see the clash coming from, going back earlier to this type of thing about a dark age. A clash between the people who are awakening to some larger calling, and this powerful transnational controlling interest that is trying to prevent what these type of changes we're talking about happening. So in short, I believe the core power structure for our entire civilization will fundamentally change in dramatic ways that will alter our individual beliefs and values and transform how we perceive reality and how we respond to that new perception. And this is the basis of the paradigm shift that began in 2008 and will continue well into 2026 when the expected technological singularity event occurs.
What is that event? Just jumping ahead.
The technological singularity?
Yeah.
It is when at that point that artificial intelligence will come online shortly before the event. And then by 2026, we will see that artificial intelligence has surpassed and achieved more technology and awareness than all of humankind. And this is being talked about by Nobel Prize winners, and they're trying to get certain policies and laws in place, because at that point, human beings will no longer be defining or setting goals or setting the agenda for human civilization. It will be a completely new intelligent species that we have created.
Where is this species coming from, someplace else, or are we evolving to that?
This species is what we create.
We're creating a species.
We're creating a new species, a new race, all right, of artificial intelligence.
We are? Are these like the little gray hybrids? I mean, is that...
No. This has nothing to do with extraterrestrial.
Okay. It's computer-based.
Computer-based, all right?
It's a new race, huh?
It's effectively creating a new race, all right? And it's, you know, this is very much from the idea of futurist Ray Kurzweil.
Yeah, Ray Kurzweil, yes.
So technological progress between 2010 till 2026 will continue to accelerate, where, you know, the limited basic intelligence of the human brain, which hasn't changed for the millennia, will be surpassed by increasing power of computer technology, all right, and where it will become possible and most likely happen to build a machine that is more intelligent than all of humanity combined.
This reminds me of the Isaac Asimov story, The Last Question. Do you know that story?
Yes, I'm very familiar with that.
Right. Anyway, but so you think that human civilization is going to build an incredible machine that will make the human brain, in a way, will dwarf what we know? Is that possible to build something greater than us?
Yes, because let's say, for example, I'll give you an example of this. If you said, okay, we present the entire medical knowledge to an artificially intelligent set of systems and said, run every possible scenario for a cure of cancer, and then run simulations, all right, which would normally take 30 to 100 years, it could do within microseconds.
And so you say we have the cure for all diseases with that.
Correct. The cure, you know, we can, all right, how do you, you know, based on everything we know about physics, what type of physics would need to be possible to build warp drive engines for a starship?
Yeah, but it only can get what human knowledge is put into it if we don't have the knowledge.
But at some point, once those breakthroughs are occurred, they will be then having to report back those breakthroughs and knowledge back to us, where a machine makes a discovery outside of human discovery and human intelligence. And the only way for humans to keep up with the intelligence explosion is that it will have to come through an amplification of human intelligence to the point of where human beings will have to somehow interface, just like we interface with the internet through a mouse and keyboard, all right, in order for us to stay comprehensible to our purely non-biological counterparts.
Right.
So this is exactly what I see happening. And there's a crisis in civilization, because there's going to be two groups of people, groups of people who will go with this and the people who will go against it. The people who will use it for dark purposes, the other people who will try and bring our civilization to a type 1 to a type 2 civilization. So this is what I'm talking about. Now, we can go back to ETs if you want.
But before we go back to ETs, now, would you say this is the prediction for the Aquarian Age?
Yes, exactly. I believe this is one of several of the predictions of the Aquarian Age. The technological singularity will be the defining event of the Aquarian Age.
Mm-hmm. And that's when we create this computer that will have all human knowledge.
Right. Think of it more like as an internet. It won't be so much one computer, but it'll be a series of millions of computers using a type of technology that we can only fathom at this moment. We can't fathom at this moment. And that technology will be tied into the entire database system of human civilization. And from there, there will be tremendous breakthroughs in sciences, music, the arts, and it will not be completely derived from human beings, but from this artificial intelligence.
Can you tell us what planetary configuration predicts that event?
Absolutely. I can. If we take a look here, if I pull up my chart, we can look at what was going on in 2026. At the time of 2026, by the way, the Barbo Cyclic Index, which is the most reliable index, it's basically a graph that takes all the outer positions of the planets and then graphs them. And when the graph went down and bottomed in 410 AD, the Roman Empire collapsed, then the graph improved dramatically until the rise of Charlemagne, then it went back down, it goes back up. World War II, we saw the same thing. Now the index is dropping from 2010, it'll bottom in 2020, and then it makes a sharp rise and peaks in 2026. And when you look at the year 2026, which I'm going to put in here now,
would you say that's a new renaissance for us, the 2026?
Exactly.
Okay.
That is exactly what I'm going to.
So the Dark Ages was followed by the Renaissance, and now we're doing a microcosm of that cycle. Yeah.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So this is where we're moving towards, and that this event will correlate with the arriving Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. 2026 isn't the right year. It's 2024. The Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that will occur in April of 2024.
Okay, we just saved 2 years on all that. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, yes, yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. 2024, is there a date you said, a specific?
It's around the spring of 2024 that we will see the impact of artificial intelligence. Now, there will be discussion about artificial intelligence over this coming decade, but in terms of it becoming a real thing that defines our lives, all right, that's the turning point, 2024. And then we go through a massive transition from a type 0 to a type 1 civilization.
Okay, so, what's the configurations in 2024? What's where? I mean, briefly, for people who only...
You have a tight Saturn-Neptune conjunction in the sign of Pisces. You have a tight Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the sign of Taurus, making a sextile to each other. And then you have Pluto in Aquarius. Interesting, right? Pluto enters the sign of Aquarius that year.
And what does that mean when Pluto enters Aquarius?
Well, when Pluto enters Aquarius, that means that the... breakdown of geopolitical nation states and systems of government controlling, you know, transnational private interests will have completed, and then Pluto ingress into Aquarius will begin a time of where civilization will become a more unified type of, essentially, because Pluto rules economies of vast scale. So I believe we're going to shift into a different type of economy that's going to restructure the laws, the ways we trade, the means of money. I believe money as we see it now will no longer exist. I don't believe the type of fiat currencies will exist certainly by that time.
Will we have a global currency? Do you see that?
Yes, I see us moving towards a global currency where nation states although there'll still be nation states, they will certainly not, no nation state in particular will dominate. Like you see it now, or you, it'll be more about, it'll be a completely different way of alliances. Alliances are formulated on completely different sets of priorities and values than what has been shaped now. Right. So you're now the thing is try and speculate how it's going to be in 2024 is almost near impossible, because what it means is that we need to envision a type of way of government, a way of economic system, a way of you know, that goes outside the scope of what we're, you know, of the current system that's based, you know, the current Adam Smith model of economics.
Right. So it hasn't been invented yet. We're waiting for that brilliant person to come along, huh?
Correct. And those brilliant people are coming along right now. They're just not getting in the news. They're working hard, you know, they're behind the internet on Facebook somewhere. They're publishing a book right now. There's some young kids out there, you know, who never get a chance to say, those are the people to watch for, all right? The people who are so vested in the system are the ones who are going to try and stop this from happening, because it's because, you know, the problem is that everybody – you know, this is the situation we have in Greece, you know, where people, where we created systems and made agreements that could no longer be kept. And now there's going to be a split. And in order for this new system to arrive, you need a complete breakdown of this current macroeconomic system that's been put in place and basically began sometime around in the mid-60s. Mm-hmm. So this is what I see.
Well, okay, now let's get back to the ETs. Where do you see them coming in?
I see disclosure becoming a household word.
When is there an astrological date for that you see?
For disclosure?
Yeah.
Well, actually, what's interesting is I see disclosure for the ET thing happening this year. So what I believe, I don't believe the United States will come out and disclose, but I do see a number of nation states which are going to disclose, most notably Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
They will begin a major disclosure project that will unravel the type of kleptocracy and military secrecy that the United States has been clamped, that has enforced worldwide since 1947.
Uh-huh. And what's the astrological configuration that will show you, that shows it?
The Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Aries, which starts June 6th.
So June 6th, should we hear something in the news or no?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I wish astrology was just that perfect, and it's not. Mm-hmm. What it can tell you is when a nascent event will occur. And then it takes off from there. So I would keep your eyes open shortly after June 6th for disclosures that will be announced by a series of nation states, probably most notably in Europe, then China, and then it will, you know, Russia, China. You'll see this starting to come out, because it's becoming more and more difficult and costly to keep the lid on this all.
Why is it costly to keep the lid on it?
Well, you know, to keep a lid on it is well, why is it costly? Look, for all the black projects, all right, for the black operations and black projects and reverse engineering projects that have been going on, all right, the budget required for that is only 12%. The rest of it is being allocated to security and disinformation programs to keep a lid on this entire operation. So this is what we're facing now.
Okay.
That as the country becomes more insolvent, and as other countries are finding artifacts on the moon and sending probes to Mars, which the Europeans are doing, the Indians are sending probes to the moon. There's many artifacts, as you know. We don't need to go into that right now, but we know they're there. We've seen them, and as they go to disclosure, all right, the pressure on the United States to go to some form of disclosure is going to increase exponentially.
Okay,
it will no longer,
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just no longer going to be feasible. And remember what I said earlier. Anything that's unsustainable, untenable, will not last, will not stand the test of time during this decade. That goes to oil, UFO secrecy. That goes to suppressing alternative energy technologies. That goes to anything we can think of, all right? You name it, it's not going to stand the test of time.
So this decade, this 2010 decade, everything's going to be exposed is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. And there's going to be a faction of people that are going to rise up and demand the truth and demand change, not just with UFOs, but with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
know? So yeah, go ahead.
No, the other side of the UFO thing, so there's disclosure, but then there's also the other side is contact, where we'll have open contact with ETs. Do you see anything like that in the stars?
Yeah, this is complete pure speculation on my part.
That's okay.
But I would say that the ETs are going to begin to force the issue of disclosure by, the recent activity of triangular craft, all right, that move at very fast speeds over large cities, especially in the Southwest, has been increasing dramatically in numbers.
And the crop circles. I mean, I'm going to England this summer to check out the crop circles. I invite anybody listening who wants to come with me to just drop me an email at newrealities@earthlink.net. But the crop circles themselves, I feel, are communications from these beings.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is that it's my I as a speculator.
Yeah.
I believe that the ETs are going to force the issue, maybe not exactly landing outside the White House lawn, but there will be much more activity starting this summer where it gets to the point that it's going to get to the point where even the mainstream media is going to have to acknowledge that something is happening.
Right. Okay. I mean, there's been flaps, waves over the last, I'd say, six decades where there'd be a lot of UFO sightings and then they disappear and everybody said, oh, yeah, that was something else. But, you know, I think it's a story that doesn't seem to be going away and more people are believing in it. The idea of disclosure and contact are two ends of the situation there, which will change our planet. I mean, culturally is what you're talking about in a major way.
Exactly. I think this is going to become more mainstream, this type of talk. It's going to be most threatening to the fundamental Christian right, especially that is the main political center for the Republican Party. You're going to see, by the way, just going to politics real quick, I see a complete breakdown of the two-party system starting this summer, which will be a major achievement for this country.
There'll be a third party that will win some of the elections.
Well, this is interesting. It's not so much that I see a third party, per se, although that is a possibility, but I see, with the emergence of the T-square, a social revolution, all right, is a real possibility. And therefore, we can anticipate the rise of a potent grassroots reform movement from an underemployed and demoralized citizens who feel abandoned by their own government. And these citizens are going to demand major social and political reforms along with a restructuring of our tax system. This reform movement will also fight to reverse the concentration of wealth and power over an advanced and deeply embedded oligarchy that will begin to politically destabilize the two-party system of government. And that is happening to a theater near you.
That's happening in a theater near us, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, well, yes. No, that's very interesting. That's very exciting. I think the overall, from what you're saying is, there'll be something. Well, we have a foundation here, but the structure on that foundation is being remodeled. Basically, I think is what you're saying here, right?
Right. The other thing, too, is I don't want people to think that there's going to be a revolution and we're going to rip up the Constitution. I believe there's going to be a restoration to the type of government our founding fathers established for us, and that made these 13 colonies into the greatest superpower, all right, that ever existed in such a short amount of time. It's because the structure of government was so sound and the Bill of Rights was so congruent with fundamental truths that we were able to build a great society. We need to go back to that system. Obviously, we have to do it in a different way now, and we have to do it in a way where we can lead the world in a transition from a point zero civilization to a type one civilization.
Right.
That is what the goal of that's what our leadership should be providing, and that's exactly what this T-square is going to invoke, whether it's Obama, all right, or somebody else. It's coming. And I believe change is coming to Obama, because certainly Obama is not bringing change to this country at the level it needs to happen.
Well, yeah, he's been very disappointing from where he said he wanted to be, and I think he's just not exerting his power, and he does need to change. You're right, because I think he's capable of integrity, but he doesn't seem to be, he seems to be, you know, like the Who says, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. I believe Obama is being constrained by the powers that be, these powerful transnational corporate groups that set the policy and determine long-range goals for nation states, and that being to their benefit,
I mean, yes, what I would do is just dissolve all health insurance companies, nationalize them all, and have a national health care system. That's what he needs to do, I feel. You know, it's radical. I mean, and it would cause some economic turbulence, but I think that's the best way, the only way to really do this plan that we're capable of doing. I mean,
Well, look, you know, without going too deeply into the health care, I do see when the health care gets enacted, I believe, what, 2014? Am I correct on that?
I believe
it's 2014 and it goes, you know, it goes fully operational. I can tell you right now that is going to be, there'll be major arguments within Congress at that time and governors in various states where there'll be measures to rescind it or to make dramatic changes in overhauling it because it's simply not going to work. And I'm not against healthcare. One of the reasons I voted for Obama, all right, was because I wanted a public option to be implemented in this healthcare reform, which was taken out, making it more or less a toothless tiger.
Right, right, right. Well, all right. Now, just going back to the ET stuff, though, because I didn't think I think there will be resistance, of course, from the Christian right, but also the scientific left, the people that want to hold on to the old paradigm of science. That's a bigger resistance, you know?
Well, look, a lot of these guys, if you listen to Coast to Coast,
yeah,
and you go to various symposiums and you go to the X conference in Washington, there are a lot of people coming out of the closet who work in the military-industrial complex, who worked in NASA,
I'm talking about people like Stephen Hawking. You heard what he said a couple of weeks ago.
But you've got to realize that Stephen Hawking is saying what he feels. The fact that he's acknowledging that ETs do exist, they are probably exploring. They are, at some point, we are going to engage them. All right. And, you know, the fact that he made a statement like that is revolutionary in and of itself.
Well, that's
true. This is very up. So, Alan, give the guy some credit. What he said is very upsetting to the transnational corporate establishment that is trying to keep a lid on this, that has a whole set of technologies that are light years ahead of anything that we have in terms of military weapons, in terms of power, in terms of anti-gravity, things that would literally transform our society overnight. So this is where I feel that statement was a very powerful one and very close to, by the way, what we're talking about, this alignment of Jupiter-Uranus on the world access point.
On the world access? What is the world access point?
The world access point is 0 degrees Aries.
That is the beginning of spring.
No. The world access point is when any planet conjuncts 0 degrees Aries, or groups of planets are within an orb, 1 degree orb, either way, of 0 degrees Aries, especially if they're conjunct, they exert a tremendous amount of direct power into the global consciousness. And it's very immediate. You don't have to guess. It's going to happen. It's going to be swift. It's going to be powerful. And when Jupiter and Uranus together, you can expect dramatic changes, especially in the area of technology and in things related to artificial intelligence, ETs, all right, and the explosion of new concepts and new ways that would move us towards type 1 civilization.
Would you say 0 degrees Aries is like the Earth's birthday in a sense?
Well,
I mean, if you were going to do a chart for the Earth itself, I mean, that's what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a very debatable subject because depending on what school, what part of the world, if you're a Vedic astrologer, but we do know one thing. Historically, when we see planets cross that point or station on that point, like what's happening in June and what will be happening in July.
What's happening in June? What point is crossing 0 degrees Aries?
Jupiter-Uranus conjunction at 0 degrees Aries.
Oh, Jupiter and Uranus at 0 degrees Aries.
Right. And they will be making a square to Pluto.
Uh-huh.
And it will be opposing Saturn, which will be entering 0 degrees Libra, opposing the world access point. So you're going to see the night sky light up, and the archetypal resonance will express itself on the world stage in such a powerful way that most astrologers are marginalizing what is going on because, again, they are too vested in believing in the system because they expect payback. That is not going to happen, Alan.
Saying most astrologers also don't have the far-reaching vision of what could be possible because they're also stuck in an old system.
Correct.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't want to say I'm the only one in the country, but I know there's very few. Michael Luton happens to be one of those people who actually sees things very similar to the way I do. So I have to hand it to him. He understands how his peers, his many of his friends, are very vested in the system. And he has to be very careful when he speaks to them on a personal level about what he sees happening. But when it comes to his writing and publishing it on the Huffington Post, he sort of says it pretty much the way I see it in his own style.
Right. Okay. Now, one more thing about 2012. This 2012 happened when the galactic center hits 0 degrees Capricorn. Is that what's happening on 2012 on the
Well, 2012.
The winter equinox, the winter solstice, yeah.
Yeah, 2012 in terms of Western astrology is not a major, major event. So what I have come up with is the fact that the major event astrologically that hasn't occurred since 410 AD happens in July of 2010. Now, it just happens that event is coinciding within months of the Mayan calendar event.
Within months, which Mayan calendar event in 2010?
Well, on
2012.
Excuse me, 2012. I'm sorry. Let me take that back, folks. So I'm looking at too many charts here.
2 years then, maybe, really.
Exactly. So you're talking just months in difference. If we look at it in just a mere amount of months.
But astrologically, does the galactic center progress forward?
No, the galactic center I believe, is 27 degrees Sagittarius.
Yeah, but it moves. It moves slightly.
It moves slightly, but it's right now at that point. It's not at 1 degree Capricorn.
So anyway, you've given us the big picture now. Let's just take it a little bit, you know, break it up a little bit. So you're saying June 6th, that's that incredible alignment, 0 degrees Aries. And then as we move forward through the summer into the fall, what are you seeing then with the markets?
Certainly I see that the market's going to be making a set of differential corrections. How deep they're going to go is anyone's guess, because the volatility will hit a point where a lot of, well, here's one of the things too. The market is highly, highly overvalued. Okay. So, you know, that means that the stock prices continue to go up, even though the value of the stock itself, the performance of the company, continues to take losses. Or if they make any profit, it is simply because they're cutting back. So see, when that historically has happened, markets begin to top and to begin a series of free-falling corrections. So we are moving towards a major correction. And that's why wealth preservation measures need to be enacted now. Gold is going to go through the roof. All types of commodities. Inflation is going to kick in. We're going to have more of a melt-up than a meltdown starting in July.
What does that mean, melt-up?
Well, inflation is going to start creeping in. As everything is melting down, inflation will be filling in, all right? And that is where goods and services are going to cost more and more, regardless of how low they artificially keep interest rates. And this is going to cause both, it's going to have, you know, so this is really going to cause major, major problems with the Fed. One of the charts most hardest hit that I have analyzed is the chart of the Federal Reserve, which is neither a reserve or federal.
Right, I know that. It's a privately owned, right?
Banking cartel. It's a banking cartel, and it operates outside of constitutional law. So I see this cardinal T-square hitting the chart of the Federal Reserve most hardest starting this spring into July all the way throughout 2011 and 2012. I believe the Federal Reserve, as we know it, may change completely. It may, you know, it's very hard to speculate, but I believe a lot of the issues, a lot of the problems we've been having has very much to do with the private, transnational, global interests of an advanced oligarchy that's deeply embedded into this banking cartel system, all right, that protects their financial interests and is basically shaping economic policy. That's all coming to an end.
Do you mean the Rockefellers and the...
Yes.
All those...
Yes.
The Illuminati, basically, right?
The Illuminati. The people behind the people. That's why, look, you can change Obama and switch Obama for Palin. It doesn't matter. It's the private government. It's the government behind the government. And that is what the revolution is going to be about. It's not going to be about the people at the White House. It's going to be people who are operating at the deepest levels of the Federal Reserve and the national security structure of this country that are shaping policies, calling the shots, and determining who gets nominated and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm. I see. So so that's going to start to shift, but will there be an exposure of that? Do you see something?
Yes. Yes. There's going to be a series of smoking guns.
Yeah.
That's what the T-square will bring out as well. Everything that's a smoking gun on UFOs, on secret government, on Federal Reserve, you know, running amok, all right, letting banks do what they want. All of those smoking guns, just exactly like what we've seen in Wall Street with the lack of enforcement of the rating agencies and the Securities and Exchange Commission on the various trading institutions. You're going to see the smoke, and this is going to, again, accelerate. One story will lead to another, will lead to another, all right? And we're going to have information overload. It's going to seem like one series of crisis, a house of cards, all coming down.
Will this be exposed by the media or by Congress?
No, it'll be exposed. It'll be exposed in various different ways. Because first, it'll be exposed by non-mainstream media. Because mainstream media is protecting these transnational corporate interests.
They're in bed together because they are the transnational interests.
This mainstream media, non-mainstream media, like your radio show, coast to coast, and a whole bunch of other venues on the internet, are going more mainstream this year to the critical threshold point, to the tipping point. The tipping point where people will believe the non-mainstream media, and not only just believe it, take action on it, all right, by voting differently, by buying it or not buying, by doing and not doing, all right, by shaping their formerly deeply held opinions and beliefs. That is what's going to happen, and the mainstream media is going to be clueless on how to reverse this flow. Right, this wave. So that's again part of the Zeitgeist movement.
part of the zeitgeist of old institutions not knowing how to deal with, like, new information.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
So that's really exciting. So let's talk a little bit culturally. You said that, I mean, what can you speculate? Of course, there's no way of knowing, but what do you speculate our culture will look like, let's say, through 2010, through the 10s, and into the 2020? What will there be?
Well, that's
I know it's hard to know,
I would say that we're going to become. I think maybe what you were referring to more as a third party, more of a libertarian type of system, is going to become more commonplace. I do think that racism is will still always will be an issue, but it'll be more about class issues, where there'll be division in classes in this country that's going to become very obvious and apparent, which already has, but even more so. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's going to shift people's perceptions quite a bit. I believe we're going to have elegance is coming back, quality is coming back. I believe community is coming back. I believe industry, small industry, is coming back. Micro industries are coming back. I believe that people are going to become much more self-reliant, and I see a lot of demographic shifts occurring. I also see, at the same time, many of the states, many people are going to be leaving many states and shifting elsewhere around the country, which is going to have a dramatic impact on the political system.
You think people will be leaving the cities and going more?
Yes. Yes. I see many people leaving the cities, not necessarily New York City per se, but many of the cities. Reestablishing themselves, throughout the rest of the country, especially in the Southwest, Midwest region. I see tremendous growth occurring.
Do you see any earth changes happening?
Yes, I do.
What do you think?
Yes. Now, I believe that we are experiencing more of a shift to a new ice age than I believe that the variation in temperature and the heating up of the earth is all part and parcel to some type of a shift in what I would call an ice age. We're moving more towards an ice age because what they have discovered is that the earth tends to heat up and then suddenly suddenly drop in temperature.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's one of the things. I see flooding. I see more issues with flooding. I see water distribution issues. I see food shortages, all due to the fact that climactic crisis.
Do you see that in the charts as well, in the stars?
Yes. Well, I see that. Yes, I do. Because, yes, I do.
In which way? Where do you see that?
Well, I see that with the T-square. Because around the time of the T-square, the last time in around 410 A.D., there was a dramatic Europe suffered tremendous food shortages, and there was a tremendous drop of population during those 400 years. And it took another 400 years, and wasn't until about the 1200s that the European population equaled or surpassed the Roman Empire. So I do see now, of course, things are very different today, but I do see water distribution, food shortages becoming much more common and has more to do with erratic weather patterns, which are crop failures, colony collapse disorder. All of this is accelerating.
Right. Along with that whole, out of the Dark Ages, I mean, what helped change that was the Crusades, and that had to do with the whole Middle East situation. I mean, do you see anything happening in the Middle East that will be drastic?
Yes, I do. I see some major, major issues with the Middle East because this Cardinal T-square will be affecting distressing many of the Middle Eastern nations, not just the European ones. For example, many nations in the Middle East, such as Yemen, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Palestine, Algeria, Iraq, Libya, Jordan, Sudan, Kuwait, Turkey, Afghanistan, will all be powerfully and directly affected in their individual horoscopes by the Cardinal T-square.
I'm just wondering what way, but go ahead. Go ahead. What
were you saying? Well, they're all being affected. In other words, their horoscopes are going to be directly affected. Planets in their horoscopes will be directly affected by this cardinal T-square event. And many of these nations are major oil exporters to Europe, Asia, and the United States. And although oil production in the Middle East has been climbing since 2008, the higher consumption of oil by China and India has been eating away at OPEC's spare capacity to produce greater qualities of oil. So the effects of even a small drop of oil production in the Middle East could be shocking to the global economy, causing prices of oil to skyrocket and will have a major crushing effect on the economic global recovery, if you believe there's a recovery.
Well, unless we discover an alternative source to oil, that's like, you know, and it's already happening, I think, you know?
Right, but here's the problem, Alan. The problem is you're going to need trillions of dollars to implement an infrastructure to create that, and then you need time to transition. All right, and that will require an initiative on global leadership to occur that hasn't been seen since the Second World War. And I hate to say it, but we're going to have to reach a point of what we would call peak oil, right, where demand of oil will exceed production.
Well,
so we can anticipate. Look, what I am anticipating with the Cardinal T-square is price shocks to oil, all right, as the prospect of war, terrorism, civil unrest, nuclear proliferation in the Middle East increases, and that's what I see coming.
Well, when I talked to Hal Puthoff, you know who Hal Puthoff is? He worked for the SRI, Stanford Research Institute.
Yes, I know Hal.
And now he's developing zero-point energy technology. When I interviewed him about that, he said there was already a plan in place to ease zero-point technology into the mainstream system that will have, let the oil, our oil dependency off easier, so it won't be such a shock. I mean, I don't know if he's developed the zero-point energy technology yet, but the DOD, he said, already has some kind of plan in place. I mean, that's what he said, so they are working on that.
Well, you know, if that's so, then you know, we're not, you know, if that's so, that'd be great. I don't believe that to be the case. Not that I don't believe Hal.
Right.
The problem is I don't believe the powers that be will easily allow zero-point energy, zero gravity, and all these other reverse engineered technologies, plus alternative technologies that were developed by some very brilliant people over the past couple decades, to be integrated. And even if they are available, Alan, we still need trillions of dollars and a national initiative to get them implemented, all right, and put into law and put into practice, which is going to take time. So the problem is we don't have the time. Time is not on our side. We are either at peak oil or closely approaching it, and that means that oil shocks, all right, in prices is close.
You mean oil? When you say peak oil, that means we will have reached our limit of oil production? Is that what that means?
Correct. For every dollar you put in, it's going to cost $1.10 to get the oil out. And then the following year, $1.20, $1.30.
I don't believe that. Look at the oil pouring out into the Gulf of Mexico right now. It's just spewing out there.
No, that's
what's that?
No. Alan, hear why I'm saying that.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
you've got to understand. See, that's exactly what the oil companies want you to believe. But here's the real issue behind peak oil.
Yeah.
All right? Because, all right, the real issue has to do with the fact that, if oil was so plentiful and easy to access, why would they be trying to drill out, all right, in politically volatile areas that are hard to access, and is still only and it's very costly to get this oil.
Mm.
In other words, why would they want to do all of this if there was plenty of oil for everybody? The reality is that there's not enough oil.
Right. That's why we need a drastic overhaul of our energy systems, and I think there will be. Don't you think so? I mean, something will come on, some unexpected event will manifest. It always has, in a way, right?
Well, I believe so. I believe there'll be a series of events, but I do think that peak oil in spite of what all my astrology friends say, is going to become more of an issue starting this year. And the reason I can say this is because I've done quite a bit of research. Because look, there are six variable scenarios that could lead to a disaster emergency during this coming decade, all right, that will begin during the cardinal climax. That's economic collapse, which we're seeing now in Europe, peak oil, climate collapse, food crisis, overconsumption, overpopulation, followed by world war. These are all real possibilities. And when I have many astrologers who play this down, all right, they're telling me, no, you know, there's plenty of oil. I have to keep on reminding them that back, all right, you know, Dick Cheney, when he was CEO of Halliburton, stated in a 1999 speech, by some estimates, there will be an average of 2% annual growth in global oil demand over the years ahead, along with, conservatively, a 3% natural decline in production from existing reserves. That means by 2010, we'll need an additional 50 million barrels per day. Even Andrew Gould, CEO of a giant oil service firm, Schlumberger, you know that name, for instance, recently stated that an accurate average decline rate of 8% is not an unreasonable assumption. So if a 5% drop of production caused to triple oil in the 1970s, what do you think a 50% or 75% drop is going to do? All right? An 8% drop would be catastrophic, you know?
Well, wait, I understand. So, but yeah, we'll see about that. What about the world war situation? You think that will come out of Israel, the Middle East, if that does go down?
Well, I do think that, you know, the situation with Iran, Iran has been playing, you know, they've been playing Obama really well. I mean, no matter what he deals with them, he you know, they play a much better game than poker than the current administration. Look, the main reason Iran wants to build nuclear weapons is not to destroy Israel. The main reason to build nuclear weapons is to ensure your country and your resources will never be taken away or invaded. Right now, Iran has the world's most powerful military on either side of its border. The only way to ensure political sovereignty and a political future based on the type of system they have in place and prevent any type of invasion is to develop a nuclear deterrent.
Wait, you're saying the U.S. is in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that borders Iran? That's what you're saying?
So right. They are besieged by a military superpower that is willing to do anything it takes, according to transnational global directives, to seize oil, all right, for the purpose of ensuring that to secure oil rights.
Well, okay. So, well, all right. Well, we'll see what happens. One more question. I see on your website there's the July 30th Moon, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus.
That's the T-square.
Oh, that's the T-square. July 30th, it all lines up?
Right.
I see.
The other thing, too, I want to go back to is remember that the financial system is entirely dependent on an increasing amount of cheap emphasis on cheap oil. In order for there to be an increase in the amount of economic activity taking place worldwide, there must be an increase in the amount of net energy available to fuel those activities. Keep that in mind, all right, over these next coming months with the cardinal T-square.
Okay. Well, so is there anything you want to leave us with? Any ideas? Anything we should protect ourselves or be aware of or how to act in the next coming months or years?
Well, all I can say with certainty is change is a-coming, all right? And that you need to be flexible. You need to discard old beliefs and values that are no longer serving you. And you have got to start taking an action. You need to be a mouthpiece. You need to be a voice. You need to be participating in your community to deal with the type of changes that are coming. Do not trust the major media. Do not trust this government. Realize that the publicly elected government is being controlled by forces far more powerful than it's possible to believe. All right? And the only thing that's going to get in their way is this shift in global consciousness that is reflected by the cardinal cross that begins in July all the way through 2012.
All the way through 2012, that cardinal cross stays in place?
Correct.
Oh, that's interesting. It doesn't... Right. There's no movement of the planets for 2 years?
No, they'll be crossing over each other's path. So they'll be essentially in effect. And for folks, if you think that what happened in Greece won't happen here,
what
all
happened
right?
in Greece? Oh, with the riots and the economic...
The riots, the breakdown, the sovereign debt default issues. I want people to know right now, all right, that there's California is listed as one of the highest default probabilities, along with Venezuela, Argentina, Pakistan, Greece, Ukraine, Dubai, Lebanon, Latvia, and Sicily. Right now, California is listed right up there. There's a 20% probability of the state going completely insolvent. California is the canary in the coal mine, all right, for the United States, just like Greece was for Europe.
So what,
watch what happens to California.
So what are you saying might happen in California? They'll default, and then what will happen? What do we see as a result of that?
If California defaults, that is the beginning of the depression. We are on borderline recession / depression. Although the Obama administration in September, Larry Summers, stated that there is no more recession. We're in a recovery, which is false. This is a cover-up.
Uh-huh.
And California, for those who still believe Obama's going to pull it through, who still believe that the two-party system is the solution, watch what happens to California. When California begins to implode financially, civil rights, civil disobedience, riots, all right, breakdown in business, that is a sign that that is coming. That will spread across this country. And you need to be ready for it because this is going to happen.
And you see that coming in this year, 2010?
It begins this summer, yes.
And goes all the way through 2012.
Yeah. And the other thing I just want to end is this is the first time in history. It's now more expensive to buy insurance against national default than it is to insure a corporate failure. In other words, it's more money to insure against national default than a corporation that got bailed out. If you don't understand that statement, that significant statement, then you need to start getting informed, all right? Because it means that things are much worse than they appear on your TV.
Right, and nobody's talking about this in the mainstream, are they?
No, they're not. But if you go to the internet, you read, there are a lot of bright guys out there, much smarter than me, who understand economics, who understand the machinations of the market, that are financially well off, that are very clear and open about what they invest and what they do, and have a solid track record, that are all basically saying the same thing, but coming from different viewpoints.
Uh-huh. So, which websites do you like?
I like there's a couple. There's the one group I like is the National Inflation Association, National NIA, National Inflation Association is one of them. And the other one is Mish Shedlock.
Shedlock,
yes. Okay. He's got a very good blog, and he calls it like he sees it. Ralph Faber, the German economist, he's got a very good website. So I would look around. I mean, people, do your own research. Don't take my word for it. But, whether you buy into it or not, the zeitgeist is coming.
So you're saying the economy is going to get worse because, we're here in New York. You look around. People are going out to restaurants. They're shopping.
That's true. But remember, New York City people, 1 out of 5 Manhattanites live off of a trust fund, okay? So what you're seeing is the tip of the iceberg. Remember, New York City is, New York City has a population where the average income for the Upper East Side person, individual tax reported income, is $173,000 a year. So what you're seeing is not typical, not usual.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, but will we see this in New York, this change as well, do you think?
New York will do better than any other major city in the United States. New York is the place you want to be. If you have skills, you're ambitious, you're flexible, all right, mm-hmm. and you're willing to get up every day and work, and I mean work, because this decade is going to be about work. The decade where you could just be smart and just put 4 hours in or 3 hours in a day is over. If you're willing, you're ambitious, you're willing to work, and you got talent, New York is the place for you. Because New York is going to survive this. New York's going to be ahead of the curve. People in New York are going to get their act together once they realize they've been the wool has been pulled over, you know, when they realize the ruse is up. Because New York is very split. There are people like us who see what's happening, and there's still those entitlement folks who are in denial about what's happening around them.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you, William. I'm going to post this on my website under newrealities.com, and people will be able to review all this. Also on this BBS radio.com, it'll be archived here as well. Your website is williamstickevers.com.
And, correct.
You're traveling all over the world talking about this, and let's do a show at some point about the talismanic astrology. I'm very interested in that.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show, Alan. It was a pleasure. I hopefully I made my point across, and I answered all the questions at the level you wanted me.
Oh, absolutely. No, it was very informative. I really appreciate your research and knowledge on the subject. So is there an email for people to find you?
Yes, William@WilliamStickEvers.com.
William@WilliamStickEvers.com. Thank you, William.
Okay, Alan. Great talking with you.
Great.
I look forward to our next
Together. Definitely. I'll see you around town. I know you're off to Japan at some point again.
Yes, maybe. In July.
All right. But we'll be in touch.
You got it. Thanks.
This Bye-bye. Is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website, newrealities.com. Thank you for listening, and listen to me next week at the same time. And there's some archival stuff on my website. I appreciate that. This is Neil Young with After the Gold Rush. And the closing phrase I really like here. So listen.
Well, I dreamed I saw the silver spaceships flying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and colors flying all around the chosen ones. All in a dream, all in a dream, the loading had begun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed.